This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. A short week, but we're here for you at Raiders.com and on iTunes. And hey, retweet the podcast as you've been doing. We really appreciate that. Via Twitter, at the Raiders. I'm at JT the Brick. And how about that Raiders Facebook page? We really appreciate you coming back every week. As the Raiders Thursday night take on Kansas City at Arrowhead, it's the 10-2 Raiders at the 9-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Before we get going here, I got to go back to that win against the Buffalo Bills. That was one of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen. My 19 years with the team, for the fans who have been going their whole life to Oakland Raider games, on the short list of regular season comeback victories. How about the 29 unanswered points to come back against Buffalo and win that game and build all that momentum and win that game 38-24. Kansas City won a road game in miracle fashion, taking back a two-point interception conversion from Matt Ryan to end up beating Atlanta on the road 29-28. So when you look at the Raiders, who still have the edge over Kansas City, Kansas City beat the Raiders earlier this year 26-10 in that rain game. And I wouldn't say this is all or nothing because the Raiders got to 10 wins, so they're playing with house money. But for Kansas City, this is the game where they're trying to sweep the Raiders for the regular season and gain control of the AFC West. And a big spot for both teams, and I know the NFL is really excited that they could get a marquee game like this in primetime on Thursday night. So for the Raiders, they've been building momentum. They're undefeated on the road. Even one of their home games were on the road in Mexico City. Jack Del Rio has talked about how this team travels professionally, what they need to do. They're going two time zones away. No big deal. Look what they did in the first three out of four on the year. Look what they did when they went to Florida to play Jacksonville and Tampa Bay back-to-back. This is a team that is professional, and they know how to travel, and they're going to have to bring it together. Fortunately, Kansas City's on a short week because, remember, when Kansas City beat the Raiders, they were coming off their bye week, where Andy Reid has one of the best bye week records coming off a bye week in the history of the NFL. So this balances it a little bit more. Derek Carr is playing like the MVP. And I had Derek on the radio on 95.7 The Game on Monday, and he's downplaying all of this. But after Matt Ryan threw that interception, Tom Brady's missed four games for suspension, I really think Derek took that next step in the MVP race. Remember the hashtag Carr for MVP with the number four. And the way the Raider defense played, as I talked to Derek about that comeback of 29 unanswered points, he gave it all to the defense. All those three and outs in succession gave the offense the ball back, so Derek Carr was able to make plays downfield and win that game against the Buffalo Bills. So coming into this game, the Raiders are ranked fifth overall in total offense. Kansas City is 24th. The Raiders are seventh in rush offense at 114.6. Kansas City is 25th at 98.8. But the defense is what we have to look at, and I bring that up here every week. The Raiders, 29th overall. Kansas City, 28th overall. The rush defenses, both teams struggle to stop the run. The Raiders are ranked 29th. They're giving up 124.8 yards a game. Kansas City's right there, 27th, 121.9. But when it comes to defensive scoring, Kansas City is ninth. They're only giving up 20.2 points a game. And the Raiders here are 23rd overall, giving up roughly 25 points a game. I think this is going to be a turnover battle game. Kansas City won the last game because of turnovers. They're ranked number one in turnover ratio, plus 14. Raiders are ranked at number three at plus 12. Going to have to keep the penalties down in this game. Kansas City's cleaner, ranked number nine. The Raiders are dead last at 32. And you know how tough it is to hear and to play in Arrowhead. So the Raiders are going to have to play a very clean game. But I love the way Carr is playing in this matchup against Alex Smith. The Raiders are going to have to play what I believe is the perfect game to win this game, especially on defense. The defense is going to have to make sure that they cover these misdirection plays and cover Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in all of football in regards to misdirection. The safeties are going to have to stay home, and they're going to have to let Khalil Mack do it the way he's been doing it. Arguably the defensive player of the year, he's been incredible. The defense is going to have their hands full, and I think they're going to have to play that great game. Special teams, I think it could decide the game. the Raiders are going to have to cover well, so Kansas City has to go the length of the field. Marquette King, Sebastian Janikowski have to play great. And the most important thing is to let Carr continue to explode downfield. The Raiders have great momentum going into this game. No need to panic. They make a few plays. They're ready to go into Kansas City and win this game. Our first guest, one of the recent great Raider running backs, Napoleon Kaufman, joins us on the Official Raiders podcast. And Napoleon, thanks for doing this. And great that we can get you on before the Kansas City game. Raiders got big momentum at 10-2. You got to love what you're seeing with this team on the field.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, just the way they're playing, man, I tell you, it's been tremendous. I mean, you see the fruit of these guys' hard work and dedication to their craft. And, man, and you know me, I don't like the Chiefs at all. So I'm looking forward to a great game, man.
Talk about that, the rivalry game and what it meant to you, who had a great run with the Raiders when you had to travel two time zones to Kansas City, the crowded Arrowhead, and how difficult of a matchup it is to play there.
Well, it is tough, man. The fans are right there on top of you. You've got, obviously, they've got, good teams. And then sometimes the weather, inclement weather, you got stuff like that going on. So it makes it for a tough outing. But, you know, I'm liking our chances with this team. And I think the kids also know, they understand the ramifications here and how important this game is, because it really is a rivalry game.
Napoleon Kaufman's our guest. The way they got here, and Napoleon, if you look at this season this year, a lot of dramatic wins. We often talk about the first game going for two at New Orleans, the overtime game, almost five quarters in Tampa Bay. Talk to me about the Buffalo comeback. After Buffalo came out at halftime and scored again easily and expanded that lead, the Raiders scored 29 unanswered points to win that game. Talk about a momentum builder going into Kansas City. That last game against Buffalo was brilliant.
Yeah, it was great, you know, but to me, I'm a little concerned because I don't like always having to fight back from being down. You know, that is something that in my mind, I am kind of, you know, processing. But I think that it does show a lot of character in this team, and you need that type of heart condition as you start getting down into the playoffs and getting ready to close the season. At least we've got some character and some grit and some fight about us. But, man, I wouldn't mind winning by 20 or 30 points one of these times, bro.
It's nice to put games away early, no doubt about it. Hey, Napoleon, what do you think about this rushing attack? Because the game against Denver was a game that the Raiders imposed their will on the Broncos. Sunday Night Football, the whole country saw it. But then it's kind of been a struggle. Latavius Murray in the red zone has been a beast. But I like now with DeAndre Washington when he plays, especially Jalen Richard and Olawale and his ability to break a big play. I mean, they got guys when they're going wide with Cooper and Crabtree and Rivera at tight end or Walford. They got receivers out of the backfield like when you used to play, backs who can catch the ball and make plays downfield.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's really exciting to watch them play the brand of football that they're playing because, quite frankly, they're balanced. You know, you don't know if you're going to get hit with the uppercut or with the right hook. You know, you don't know what's coming, but it makes it good when you have a group of running backs that have different, they're a little bit different. Like me and Tyrone, you know, we played, he was the more of the banger, and then I would come in and, you know, break off a long run. It really does keep the defense off balance. And I think teams, as you can see, they're struggling with that. And then our quarterback is just playing excellent. So we got a great attack, but down the stretch, we have to run the ball. You know this, JT. We got to run the ball down the stretch. If we don't do that, we may find ourselves in trouble in January, man.
Napoleon Kaufman is our guest, Raider legend, big part of the team still. We'll get into that momentarily. But I think it's critical now, and you know this from your run with the Raiders. What is it like when you're in the middle of something like this that is happening? You have forward momentum. Everybody's on the same page. Everything is clicking, and you have the opportunity to go to the next level. Do you look towards your coaches? Do you look towards the GM, or do you just look towards each other in that locker room and say, guys, I don't know how we got to 10-2, but we're here. Now we got to knock down another wall.
Yeah, I think the big thing is just the leadership. You know, I think for me, you know, we had Tim Brown, Rich Gannon, we had guys that had been around the league. They were vets, and they knew how to keep us focused down the stretch. You know, with Coach Del Rio, obviously being a former player, he understands the process too, and the staff. They got a lot of guys over there that are former players. So I think mentally these guys are going to be ready. They showed the character to fight back. And it was just for me when we played, it was Tim Brown. It was Rich Gannon. It was those guys, the old veterans that kept us going and pressing towards that mark.
Napoleon, I look at this team and I see balance and I see explosiveness, but I see a defense from time to time that gives up a big play or plays in spurts and stretches. Just touch on Ken Norton Jr., the defensive principles of Jack Del Rio and how they get better. You know, DJ Hayden is gone for the year. Nate Allen came in for Carl Joseph. What's it like when you're on a team and it's late in the season and it's next man up?
Well, I mean, you got it. I mean, it is. I mean, these guys are getting paid a lot of money to get out there, and this is a performance business. So I think in the locker room and this around the team, and you just see it, guys understand, hey, next man up, you got to play. We got to get out there. And I think the big thing is, just like we have to run the ball down the stretch, we have to stop the run down the stretch. Everybody's getting tired. Everybody's kind of falling apart. Their bodies are, you know, we're getting to the end. Okay, what team is going to do the grunt work? And I think for us, if we could stop the run, if we could just do, just continue to stop the run down the stretch, I think we're going to be fine, JT. I really do.
We're wrapping it up with Napoleon Kaufman. I see on your Twitter, the official Twitter of Napoleon Kaufman, at Napoleon Kaufman, pastor of the Well Christian Community. And I like when athletes and individuals, former pros, talk about their faith. I talk to Derek Carr every week. This week it was about the Oakland warehouse fire, where he is praying for everyone. You are a leader in your faith within the community. Let's touch on, not from a football perspective, but when you hear about the Oakland warehouse fire, all the people that were lost and all the families, Napoleon, who are suffering right now and how they can lean on their faith.
Well, you know, obviously I pastor out here in the Bay Area. And so I, on a day-to-day basis, I'm inundated with a lot of things that are going on, not only within my church, but within the culture, and our church phones are getting calls for various things. So when you hear something like this, once again, it's just a terrible tragedy to see people lose their lives like this in those circumstances. And I don't even want to let my mind go to a place where you think about what these people were thinking about when that fire. I mean, it's just terrible. And I think the biggest thing for us right now is, I know as a church, I mean, obviously we're praying for families, we're praying for people, but then also, how can you get your boots on the ground in the community and continue to be a blessing to people that are looking for help and quite frankly, looking for answers. And our faith, my faith in Jesus Christ, is what, and you guys is well documented, that is where my faith is released in the Lord. And so we're just really encouraged to be able to have a place where people can go to get to know the Lord and find some comfort in times like this when they have need, man.
What is your role with the team now, your relationship with the owner, obviously the coaching staff, because I often see you there on the sidelines, and with the opportunity to grow with this team going forward, what are your plans for the future?
Well, I have been the team chaplain there for the last four seasons, so I am very grateful to be around the program. I have a great relationship with Mark and with Mr. Davis and not only him, but, you know, the head coach and Reggie McKenzie's a member of my church. So we get an opportunity to really be a blessing to the families, not only just the players, but the whole families. And Mark Davis has given me an open door. So I love being able to come to some of the games and be there and pray with the guys and try to be a blessing the best way I can.
You mean so much to the community and the Raider Nation. Thanks so much for doing this. I'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot, JT. Keep up the great work, too, man. You know I love you, bro.
Thanks, Napoleon. Appreciate it. So great to catch up with Napoleon Kaufman. Now I go with one of his former teammates, a great Raiders linebacker, and a diehard member now of the Raider Nation in retirement. Greg Beaker joins us. And, Greg, thanks again for joining us, and great to see you at the game and in the locker room after that win against Buffalo. How great was that comeback?
That was an incredible second half. I mean, the score 29 unanswered points and just play the way they did was, you know, it was great to be there and to witness that game and see how that team, you know, the Oakland Raider team just pulled together and played really as one unit the whole second half, and it was just it was a great sight.
Yeah, Greg, I thought it was important, and Derek Carr gave a lot of credit, most of it, to the defense, because there's no way he comes back in the second half if the Raider defense doesn't continue to go three and out, three and out, three and out, in all those great stops getting the ball back to Carr. Can you talk about when the defense finally figured out Tyrod Taylor? Shady McCoy went out of the game, but it just seemed like the defense had started to click in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think that defense has been getting better and better all year, and you know, they've made some good additions to their defense. And I think, you know, they really started kind of corralling Taylor in that second half. His legs really didn't hurt them. And that's kind of the key. That first half, you know, he had some little runs and scrambles where, you know, he converted first downs, and they really kind of hemmed him in that second half. And I think that's, you know, a big part of it. And they, back in the secondary, they started playing. I mean, they were playing good all game, and they really picked it up in the second half.
Greg Baker joins us on the Official Raiders Podcast. Greg, I want to jump in and also ask you about these coaches, from Jack Del Rio to Ken Norton Jr. to Rod Woodson, who you know well, and that defensive coaching staff with defensive principles. Talk about how, if they don't have all the personnel that they're going to have maybe in a year or two from now, how they're getting the most out of this unit heading into the postseason.
Well, you've got so much NFL experience in that defensive coaching staff, you know, and including Jack Del Rio, and you know, they're all smart enough players, you know, as players and now as coaches, to know what they can get out of their players and to make their schemes, you know, really fit the abilities and talents and strengths of the players they've got. And it was something that, you know, when I was playing, you know, in the late 90s, 2001, our coaches did a lot of that as well. So it's not just a, you know, hey, here's the scheme we're running. You know, we're going to, as coaches, they look at it and say, hey, let's take advantage of the strengths we have on this team. Not look at maybe we're a little weak here. Let's really, you know, focus on what we do well. And put the players in a position to be successful.
Greg, when Kansas City beat the Raiders earlier in the year in Oakland, they seemed to do everything right. Alex Smith had an efficient game. They ran the ball well. Kelsey's a tough guy to guard at the tight end position. And, you know, it's a different Raiders team now, especially being undefeated on the road and what they've done this year. Let's talk about the matchup against Kansas City. And you were phenomenal. And I remember the Peyton Manning game where you were changing the plays on the fly. The responsibility of linebackers when you play a team like Kansas City, who can do so many things right on offense.
Right. I mean, it is. It makes it a tough game, but I think, you know, that's why most guys play this game, and that why they're at that level is that they love a challenge. And I think this is definitely going to be a challenging week for their defense. You know, Alex Smith has played very good, very consistent all year. I think they're getting Jeremy Maclin back. You know, Kelsey's a great tight end, great receiving tight end. And, you know, they've got their hands full. But, you know, the way they've been playing, you know, I think they've definitely got, you know, a good shot of limiting their offense. You know, you're not going to just shut them totally down. But you know, I think the coaches are going to put them in a good position, and the players are, you know, at a spot now in the season where I think they feel like they're on a role, and they can pretty much go in and, you know, and be competitive with any team in the league. And I think that's where they are right now.
Greg, who are the best tight ends that you went up against? Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp. Walk me through what it was like preparing for those guys, especially, you know, now we're talking short week, Thursday night football, but no matter how much time you had coming off a Monday night game or a Sunday game, how tough was it to prepare for the best tight ends of your era?
Yeah. I mean, starting out with Jay Novacek, you know, with the Cowboys, was kind of early on in my career. And then, like you said, you mentioned Shannon Sharp, Gonzalez, and, you know, those guys, people like that, and I think Travis Kelce is a similar type of player. You know, you wish you had 2-3 weeks to get prepared for guys like that as a linebacker. And, you know, but you try to figure out what they do well. You know, as a player, what routes they like, and you try to take those kind of bread and butter routes away from them and make them work for everything else they can get. But it's tough. I mean, I played against some good tight ends, and there's a whole bunch of good tight ends. That position is kind of, you know, Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, they were kind of, you know, the innovators of that position. Now it's, you see a lot of very athletic, fast tight ends playing in the league now, and I think those guys kind of got teams looking in that direction as far as that position goes.
Greg Bakert's our guest. Once a Raider, always a Raider. What's it like for you live at the game to watch Khalil Mack play and to see how they line him up and his motor at the end of these games, especially against Cam Newton to end that game, and what happened to end this game against Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, he really is. I think he's a freak. You know, he's an amazing player. I've heard nothing negative about him. Everything I've heard about him as a person is just outstanding. You know, he's a quality man, and he's got his head on his shoulders, and boy, he can play some football and he can rush the passer. It's been, you know, I really enjoy watching him play, and like you said, the motor he's got, you know, is from, you know, the first play of the game, he's out there to the last, and you pretty much expect that every week from him.
Greg, what's been going on with you since your retirement? I know you had a stint as a coach. What's been going on with you personally, with your family, your friends, since you retired as a player?
Oh, quite a bit. I've got three older daughters. We just got a foster daughter in that's 11 months old, so I'm a little kind of a new daddy all over again. Looking to possibly, you know, here in the next few months, possibly start adoption process. And
nice.
I'm also working as a volunteer chaplain with San Ramon Police Department. Just working with those guys, and that's been a lot of fun, and enjoy doing that. A bunch of great guys they have, great guys and gals at the police department there. So everything's been going good for me. I've been enjoying being in the area and watching the Raiders play and watching their success.
I've been talking about this all week. Unfortunately, the Oakland warehouse fire, I just talked about it with Napoleon Kaufman and the effects of that and all the families that are affected. How did that affect you personally?
I mean, it's just a tragedy, you know, to have that big of a loss of life, you know, it's hard, I think, for the community to deal with, you know, not just the Oakland, but even the greater, you know, Oakland area. And, you know, it's something that makes you really think about, you know, your family, thinks about your friends, and it's just something that, you know, you hope that the city can figure out, you know, how this can be stopped in the future, and so it doesn't happen again. And, you know, I think they'll probably work towards that and try to figure out how to, you know, make some of these buildings down there a little safer for people. But
yeah,
it's just all around a, you know, real hard thing to deal with, I think.
No doubt about it. Hey, one more football question. How often are you stopped and asked about recovering the fumble in the tuck rule game?
You know, usually I don't get stopped a whole lot. I don't get recognized a whole lot, which is probably a good thing. But every time it's on TV, I get a whole bunch of calls from friends, old teammates, you know, saying, hey, I saw you on TV, and I pretty much know exactly what they're talking about when they say that. So it's something that, yeah, will stick with me forever, probably.
Thank you, Greg. I was excited to see you at the game and in the locker room afterwards, and really appreciate you could take some time for us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it, JT. Thanks.
So great to catch up with Greg Bakert again, and before that, Napoleon Kaufman. It was a short week for us. We had to turn around this podcast very quickly, but I'm happy we were able to do that, heading into the Kansas City game, and then on to San Diego with the Chargers and the Christmas Eve game with Indianapolis. Denver still on the schedule. Hey, it's one at a time, but this one's a big one on Thursday night as the Raiders travel to Kansas City. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, plus Brian Burns, who helped me turn this around so quickly from 95.7 The Game, thanks to everyone. We will see you back next week for the podcast for the San Diego Chargers. This is the official Raiders podcast. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.